Standing up in McKinney, this is According to Callus, episode 627. It is a Friday. It is the 26th of April, the year of our Lord, 2024. And I'm going to do a five for Friday. That's right. Five quick thoughts, all roughly associated together. Something to kick off your weekend and to consider. And then we'll hit the ground running again, once again, on Monday. With that, before we get there, let me remind you the best way you can help me continue to grow the show, get our voices heard, make a difference, impact others around you, is to like, share, and subscribe to this program. Follow me on your social media and on your podcatcher of choice. Every little bit helps. As far as the social media goes, I have a page and a group, According to Callus, over at Facebook. I'm at Gab. I'm a pro at Gab, also According to Callus. And at MeWe, I drop in from time to time as According to Callus. And as I've said many, many times, I try and keep the show footed or based or primarily focused on, if you will, local issues. That's right. McKinney, Texas, Collin County, Texas, always Texas. But as I've come to realize, that's kind of limiting. And there's so many other things going on, and a great number of those things directly affect and impact us here in McKinney, Texas. So what does that mean? That means I need to be more open to discussing things on a national level that actually affect us here locally. We're going to look forward to finding a way to do that in a way that makes sense and follows the format as we currently have it in place, which is Mondays, hyper-local, typically, Tuesdays, State of Texas, Texas Tuesday, Texas Tuesday, and then Wednesday, we've been pivoted towards the national or international stuff, just so you'd have an idea what's going on and how and what might happen that affects us here locally. Thursday, we're going to do movies and books still, right? That's the plan. That's the action. And then Fridays is just kind of a potpourri of different things, generally to throw out either a five for Friday or a free-for-all. Just depends on what my mood is that specific week. But as time goes on, I'm going to run out of things that I need to cover, right? My repertoire, if you will, of basic ideas or thoughts. We're getting a little thin, 600 some episodes in. So I'm looking for ideas and I'm looking for topics. One of the things that I'm probably going to do here in the next couple of weeks is spend some time going through the Bill of Rights. Perhaps spend some time taking on some of the, let's call them third rails of politics, especially at the Texas state level. Locally, there's a lot of things that go on that are interesting, but at the end of the day, really, it's a question of application rather than principle that's usually at issue. So with that, let's kick off into the show. Come and join us. And yes, one last thing. My show, at least in part, is still up at YouTube. In any case, item number one, a nation sold out. Now, you may say that's a bit hyperbolic. Maybe that's unfair. I don't know, Stephen. Do they really? Well, if you're flying flags of a foreign nation or carrying them around in the state, I'm sorry, in the nation's capital, in the House chambers, celebrating, suckering the American taxpayer to throw more money at issues that we didn't cause. Well, actually, we could argue that. But we're not directly involved in. Well, maybe we could argue that. But we have no business in. I'll stand on that. We have no business on dealing with the conflict between Ukraine and Russia. It'd be fair to say we've been meddling in the affairs of Eastern Europe for quite some time. It should be no surprise that there's a war going on that we helped bring about. But the reality is we have no business there. We have no realistic reason to be involved with what's going on over there. But here we are. And when the Congress was celebrating, they were flying the flag of Ukraine. Now, I don't dislike Ukrainian people. In fact, I don't know that I know anyone specifically that's Ukrainian. And I really don't dislike Russians. And I'm certain that I've probably met a Russian here or there. But they're cousins, essentially, historically. And if they want to fight it out and duke it out, much like I had no business sticking my nose in the Hetfields and the McCoys fighting, why in the world would I be sticking, metaphorically speaking, my nose in this business? But yes, that's what we're doing. And they sold us out. It's like we have unlimited funds for a war that we have no business dealing with, but we can't deal with our own borders. Never mind just the Texas border. There's Arizona, New Mexico, California, and the entire Canadian border. It's a joke. Our nation's been sold out. And don't even get me started with what they're doing in the Middle East. And I don't even have to pick sides there. I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing as a nation? We don't know what's best. We're not the world's cop. We don't need to be sticking our nose in everybody else's business. Man, we're just... This is the action of a dying empire. Spending money into oblivion and committing ourselves to things that we have no business being involved with. That's what we're dealing with right here, right now. So that was item number one. Item number two, no constitution. Why do I say that? And I imagine most of my listeners would probably accept that argument. But I refer to item number one in part, but certainly item number two. We are passing laws routinely that are in direct, obvious violation of the constitutional restraints on the federal government. They're ignoring the limitations of the Bill of Rights. They just do whatever the heck they please, and we're supposed to suck it up and deal with it. And we're told it's for our own good. We're told that they know what's best. But the reality is, they don't care. The Constitution has become the meaningless piece of paper that our former President George W. Bush called it. Of course, he was a little more explicit in his terminology. And certainly, just so you don't think I'm picking on poor old George W. by himself, we know that Bill Clinton thought the same thing. We know that Barack Obama felt the same way. And I would only imagine H.W. was the one that trained up George W. So at least four of the last five presidents have had zero regard for the very document that is supposed to determine how our country is run. That should be very concerning. When we keep planning on the idea that if we would just enforce the Constitution, it would fix everything, yeah, well, that's all well and good, but we can't even get our court, any court, to say, well, no, this is a clear restriction from the Constitution. This shouldn't even exist. Think of all the alphabet soup agencies. Show me somewhere in the U.S. Constitution where they are authorized, yet the courts won't touch them. Because the Constitution just simply doesn't matter and doesn't exist anymore. Not at the federal level. I mean, we can hold to it at the state level all we want. We have our own state constitution. Lord knows they ignore that to a degree, but if we can't get them to pay attention, how are you going to fix anything? That's the problem. We have to just come to an understanding that they've sold us out. They don't pay attention to the Constitution. That's just where we're at. While we're at it, item number three, no justice. For 4 years, we heard stories of poor people that were just killed by cops or they received unfair justice. You know what? That can all be true. I don't know that it is, but it can all be true. But it does not excuse what's going on right here, right now. We got two groups of people that are being treated woefully different. One group did an unauthorized tour of the Capitol grounds, and another group burned and torched and tormented an entire city. One group is getting railroaded into prison sentences, and the other group's largely being just let off with nothing more than a slap on the wrist. I'm not really sure how we can call that justice. I'm not really sure how anybody is comfortable with that idea. Now, couple in the fact that our fearless leaders enrich themselves off of insider trading, and that's perfectly fine. Our same fearless leaders create all sorts of rules and regulations that we have to try and find a way to follow so we don't end up in prison, but they routinely do whatever they want and have zero consequences. There are at least two representatives that were having illicit affairs with foreign nationals, one of which was a known spy for China, and both of those folks are still wandering around free men. There are numerous other examples of this. And then, look, you can hate the orange man all you want, and you can make all sorts of accusations about him that you want, but just know those very same accusations have demonstrably more evidence from the Clinton family or the Biden family than you'll ever find on the Donald's family, yet you've done nothing to either of those groups of people. Nothing. Meanwhile, we're railroading a former president, which, look, if I actually believed he was guilty of doing a legitimate criminal offense, I'd be right there with you saying, yeah, he needs to pay the price. There's a consequence for that action. But I don't believe it. I don't think there's significant or any evidence to suggest that there were legitimate crimes that necessitate the prosecution and persecution that's going on. But that's where we're at. Meanwhile, the Clintons roam freely. The Bidens roam freely. And there's tons, literal tons of evidence and, well, a list of dead bodies that can easily be related back to at least one of those two families. And that's all perfectly fine. So I can conclusively point out to you that that is not justice. Now, it would be convenient to say that's only on the national level. It would be convenient to say that's only in the federal courts. And in my heart of heart, I really hopefully can have that sold to me at some point. But I'm not convinced. The judicial system, I think, has been sorely damaged, especially at the federal level, perhaps at some of the state level. Obviously, we can't say anything about the lower levels because they're not close to any of this. And it's good for us, right? It's good for we the people, because our normal activities that we might ever have to go to court for, we want a good solid judge there. And most of the time we've got it. But do you really think these federal judges are looking out for you? Do you really think the federal prosecutors are looking out for you? Do you think they give a whit about we the people? But realize when you're saying that and you're referring to a system, that they're not in control of their own selves. There are people pulling their strings and pushing them. I would like to believe in my heart of hearts that they're victims too. I just don't know that there's enough evidence to back that claim up. All right. After all three of those, let's move on to item number four. There is a notion that if we just win the next election, just one more election, and we can fix everything. If we can just get Trump back in office, everything's going to be okay. How's that working out for you? We said the same thing when it was George W. We said the same thing when it was Ronald Reagan. I was going to say Ronaldus Magnus, but got sidetracked there. We said the same thing when it was George W. I already said that too. Wow. Thank you. But we've tried this time and time again, and we don't ever get the results, or at least lasting results, that get us what we need. Is it possible that the false dichotomy we're being sold is all about keeping us involved in getting us dependent upon what they're doing? Is it possible that it's all a big show? It's kabuki theater, and we're just the suckers that play along. I mean, look, when you look at the first three items, and then I give you this, doesn't make sense. Do you see what's maybe going on here? Now, look, you don't have to buy in any conspiracy theories. You don't have to go down the rabbit holes. Can you just take a step back and look at what I'm talking about? The Congress is clearly working for foreign nations at this point. The Constitution is routinely ignored and dismissed. The justice system, especially at the national or federal level, is a joke. I mean, a joke in the sense that it's not equal weights and measures. It's not fair and even-handed. Just me mentioning it is, you know, dangerous in its own right. So look at it. Do you really think you're going to solve that with another election? Do you really think that Donald can get in and fix everything? I would submit to you that's a false hope. I would suggest to you that while that might be a step in the right direction, it might be a positive outcome, that's not going to solve everything. And I would say it's going to solve very little, quite frankly, in my opinion. But you don't have to take my word for it. Just look at history. Just look at how this has played out before. We've spent a lot of time in previous episodes, and we'll be spending more time in future episodes talking about what you as an individual can do right out your back door, right in your local county, perhaps even at the state level, how we can fight back and how we can make a difference. So there's the old saying. So the Constitution doesn't work, because if it works, or I'm sorry, let me get this back. So it's one of two things. Either the Constitution's working, and this is the natural outcome of the Constitution, or the Constitution's not working, which means it didn't do a darn good in the first place. Well, that's a little paraphrase there, and it's a little dark, but I would say it bought us a lot of time before things went completely off the rails. All right, item number five. Much like our leaders let us down, it's not just political leaders. So I want to just poke at this issue just a little bit more. A lot of us are Christians. A lot of us are Protestants. And we rely upon good leadership. We rely upon good speakers, people that are effective and know their theology and know the Bible, and that they can put it in layman's terms and help you explain and understand what's going on and what there is to learn here. And for some time now, they have been redefining what are gospel issues. They've been redefining what are secondary issues. They've been pivoting us away from being an effective moral force, from being involved to make a difference and to protect the Christian heritage of this country. And they've been doing it under a number of guises, some of which are more obvious than others. The net outcome is we're being sold out. We're being I don't want to even say the words. The leadership that we see in Big Eva, I don't think they're actually working for God. I don't think they're actual agents of Jesus any longer. I don't think they're looking out for we the people or the parishioners or their members or whatever their brand calls us. Now, some of them probably legitimately have misgivings about certain things, or some of them actually think they're doing a good work. But I would think perhaps we need to consider that they've been co-opted, that they've sold out, that they're in fact are nothing more than political faces on a movement that, while there are political ramifications of having certain positions, theological or otherwise, they're more interested in mammon, money, than they are in serving the Lord. I would suggest to you that perhaps they've bought their own demise upon them. Now, there are plenty of good pastors or, quote, Christian national leaders that are, quote, unquote, conservative, But little by little, they've been caving in. They've been compromising things away. They don't seem to hold the lines on the things that really matter. The fact that, I mean, look, you see these things go on in Europe or in Canada, for example, and you think that'll never happen here. But it's like one of our local Big Evo people here in the States hears you say that or pray that, and they tell their friend, hold my communion wine. I'm going to go one up this stupid thing here. On what world do you have a lady bishop come up and basically say you should celebrate Islamic stuff in a Christian church? And there's so many things wrong with that scenario. I'm not even going to spend any time on it. It's just the world that we live in right now. And everything that I just spoke about, they're all directly related to one thing. The upside down clown world that we live in, where they tell us that good is bad and that evil is good. Or if you prefer, that good is evil and bad is good. Right? They've inverted the whole process. They have made a mockery of the created order, and this is where we're at. And people, we the people, we do want and appreciate good leaders. We need to have good leadership. But I talked about earlier in the week that we're going to have to be our own leaders. I've talked about in the past that we need to be willing to take charge of ourselves, of our families, of the local communities that we live in. And look, not everybody's going to follow, not everybody's going to partake, but if we would just take a step forward, lead by example, hold the line, hold to what you know is true, you don't have to attack people that disagree with you. You don't have to condemn pagans for being pagans. That's not our job. You condemn their actions, you can condemn their bad behaviors, but you show them grace. You don't tell them what they're doing is okay. You don't tell them, well, God loves you anyway. That's clearly not the case. God will love you if you will repent. But again, that's maybe steering beyond where the initial purpose of this discussion was. But at the end of the day, nothing matters if we're being sold out from the top down, if we at the bottom of the hill, right? We that are maybe two steps up from the bottom aren't willing to put it on the line. We're not willing to call out the fact that they're lying to us, they're deceiving us, and they have zero interest in doing the right thing and looking out for we the people. I'm not asking you to believe me 100%. I'm not asking you to take my word for it. I'm asking you, listen to me. Give me the benefit of the doubt insofar as that you're going to go do your own research. You're going to go look into it for yourself. You're going to come up with your own convictions of what's real and what's the bigger concern, and you're going to do something about it. Yes, this is a playoff of what Neil Bortz once said, or said many, many times for that matter. You should never believe anything that you see, read, or hear, even if I'm telling you that. You hear it, you see it, you read it, you take it in, and then you go do your own investigation. You double check. The problem is, my opinion here, the problem is I've listed off these five things, and they all also key off the idea that we have refused to do our duty. We have refused to do due diligence. We have become lazy as a group of people, and I'm telling you, we're going to have to do something more than that to make a difference. We cannot turn the tide. We cannot fix anything is if we're not willing to call out the truth and not willing to stand on the truth. Now, let me ask you, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to take 5 minutes or 5 hours to go look up what I've told you, to do your own little investigation, make sure that you believe what you say you believe, make sure that you're willing to stand on truth? Make sure that you're willing to go find justice for people. Because like I've said, and again, I wish I knew who originally said it, But you may not care about politics, but politics certainly cares about you, and it will not leave you alone. And with that, this has been a Five for Friday, and I will see you on the other side.